little confession time. When you first saw our reading plan that we're doing right now, did anybody like me think to themselves, whoa, that is a lot? You don't have to admit it. Read the Bible. Yeah, nice. Good. I love the honesty, vulnerability. Thanks, guys. I admit it. I have actually read the Bible in a year before, but when I saw it, I was a little overwhelmed. But I will confess that there has been a gift in reading the reading plan this time at this pace. The quick reading pace this time has allowed me to make connections and to read a new story with an older story still kind of fresh in my mind and to make connections that I wasn't able to make before. I've always known, or maybe not always, but for a long time I've known that this book is 66 books that tell one story. But the pace and the reading and the consistency has allowed me to make connections that I wasn't able to make before. And I say that to encourage you. If the reading plan is hard for you, or if you are simply reading the words on the page because God told you to, keep going. He will meet you there. I promise. Keep going. Keep persevering. I have a new affinity for the Old Testament that I did not have before. And I think some of you are keep going. So we're in and that we're reading in, but I promise the Lord will meet you there. Keep going. So all I can share with you this morning is all the things that I'm learning. And we're still in Proverbs this week, and staying there, it was hard. I won't lie. Writing this message was hard. But I know some of you who've been here before are thinking to yourself, does she ever say it's easy to write a message? And I kind of wonder, I think we should probably all beware if I do say that, because we all know pride comes before the fall. So if I get to a place where it's real easy and I'm all proud of it, pride comes before the fall, right? So let's play our game from last week that we played. Let's play. Was it in Proverbs or not? Pride comes before the fall. We need some audience participation. Is it in there or not? All right, I got lots of yeses. It is and it's not. Proverbs, is it 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. So whichever side you are on, everyone's a winner today. Woo! That's awesome. So I digress, though. I have, like I was saying, a new affinity for reading the Old Testament. And I've heard it described like playing the piano. So I'm going to scooch over here. And when we read the Bible, we have different approaches that we can take to reading the Bible. So more audience participation. Musical people, if I play with my left hand, what am I usually playing? Come on. All right, bass clef, sure. Am I playing the melody or the accompaniment? I'll play, and you wouldn't know what song I'm playing, right? All right, but it's pretty. And if I was more accomplished, obviously, like Crystal, it would be much more pretty. That is actually like reading the Bible and researching and reading it from an Old Testament intended audience and getting the background information perspective from a historical perspective, if you will. All right, but if I stop there and I only read the Bible that way, it's incomplete. It doesn't tell us the whole story. It doesn't give us a full picture of all that we can learn. On the other hand, if I play with my right hand, usually I'm playing the melody. Good job, good job. And usually you can tell what song it is. Right? Right? So in the same way, that isn't as full and complete as if I play both hands together. If I simply read the Bible from my perspective and what does it mean for me, it doesn't tell the whole story. I need to play both hands together for us to really see the fullness and the beauty of the song. And in the same way, we don't want to read the Bible from one perspective or the other. We want to read them as two hands playing together. All right, so if I was more accomplished, it would be... thank you. I say all of that to set us up into where we're going today. We're going to eventually land in Proverbs 22, but I want to take you on my journey a little bit in case you can relate to some of it or in case you can use the tool that I feel like I kind of rediscovered. So the messages the last 2 weeks from Craig and then from John have resonated with me really powerfully. So if you missed those, I encourage you to go back to our website or go back to the Facebook page and check those out. Because here it is. I am the person Craig talked about 2 weeks ago. I want to finish reading Job, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes and be wise. I want to have arrived. My pride says I want to have this all figured out. And I'm also going to confess that last week when John said, hey, you guys should think about the fact that Proverbs is set up in 31 chapters and there's 31 days and a lot of months, you should read one a day, I was a little cringe about that. Or is it cringy? Or am I even allowed to say that? Does that make me old? Yeah. Well, all that to say, I didn't really like that suggestion. But I am growing to love that Proverbs, while they seem generally not complicated, are also not that easy for me. Craig suggested that we meditate on these and to sit with them. And I want to think are easy. I want to pause and I want to sit with those just a minute longer. Because this is wisdom. It's general and it's nuanced and it's filled with space to chew and wrestle with it. To meet with the author of life, the creator of wisdom, about how all of this works. And this is an area where I'm currently learning and growing. The verses that we're going to find in chapters 10 through 29 of Proverbs are not meant to stand alone. A lot of them seem like they might be able or want to. And also, they are, some of them for me even feel random because they're kind of in an order. And I confess that is tricky. But I actually want to challenge us as we're reading through Proverbs to read through or read past the verse numbers and kind of ignore those. Because verse numbers weren't added to the Bible until after the Bible had been written down for over 1,000 years. So I actually think it's safe to say that they're not part of the author's original intent. They do help us to get on the same page quickly, but I don't know that they're always what the author meant for us to get out of it. So I want to challenge you to group the Proverbs together in different ways as you read it this time and see what happens. Because Proverbs are meant to be read in context with all the other Proverbs and with Job. And what we learned in Job a lot is that we're really not going to know the reason why everything happens the way it happens. And we also need to keep pressing forward and read Proverbs as we get to Ecclesiastes because there's more wisdom that's coming when we get there. Furthermore, I just wanted to say that. Furthermore, to myself, just because I don't see the order of Proverbs or I don't understand or glean a deep wisdom or a profound truth on any given day doesn't mean there isn't actually one there. I do not want to be like one of Job's friends talking like I know it all or I have it all figured out because I realize we only know in part right now. I recognize that God is the giver of wisdom, and I want to stay tuned into him, to follow him, to walk with him and Jesus as the author of wisdom, and Jesus as the perfect king that Solomon's going to tell us about at the end of Proverbs. So like I said, I've been struggling a little bit with reading a whole chapter of Proverbs at a time and seeing how they all work together. So I started doing something that I imagine you all are really, really great at. I started asking the Holy Spirit for help. Duh. And in doing that, I really asked the Holy Spirit to highlight something for me, to show me something, to remind, and that reminded me that I actually had already taken the first step in the acronym that we got way back when we got our reading plans that we haven't really talked about that much. The H in our HEAR acronym for reading the Bible is highlight. And I was asking the Holy Spirit to highlight something for me. So I know we haven't talked about that much. I'm going to walk us through this tool a little bit because I found it really helpful. So I prayed, Holy Spirit, please let me know what you have for me and what you want me to learn. And I promise it was that easy. I didn't use any big churchy words or any commanding language. I just prayed, help me read this and learn what you have for me. So I want to encourage you, because I know that this can be hard. This is when you get highlights, it might be this would be so cool if this happened to you, that this the scripture, the verse actually changes color in your Bible. That might weird you out. But that drawn to a specific issue, it could happen. It could just be the way the words sound or the way your attention is drawn to a specific word or something that you sense. And I know that makes it hard because I can't tell you this is exactly what it will be like for you. But I promise if you pray and ask the Holy Spirit to highlight something, he will. For example, I'm hung up on the word rich. So much so that in that second song we sang today, the riches of your love was like, pa-pa, right there. I was like, all right, Lord, I see what you're doing there. My attention gravitates there as I'm reading. And I can't help but think that there's a chance that there's a lot of directions in Proverbs about being rich. I don't feel super rich. And there's some of the verses I don't fully understand or I don't love. For example, we're even going to talk about it today. The rich rule over the poor. I don't really want to rule over anyone in the way that I currently understand rule over. So that makes me nervous. Or there's the verse where it says, it is hard for a rich man to get into heaven. I'm not really excited about that verse, but lucky for me, I'm a woman. All joking aside, these are difficult for me. These are the places where I promise you, I am walking out this message with right and these next steps right along with you. So as I'm reading Proverbs each day, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to highlight something for me. And then I'm going to move on to the E and I'm going to explain. I'm going to try to learn, who was this written to? What does it mean to them? Why was it written and by whom? And then how does it fit in with the verses before it and the verses after? And then what is being communicated? In Proverbs, we believe that most of them were written by King Solomon, so we have to consider his perspective. And I've been doing some research trying to figure out what do they mean to the people they were written to. And in that way, I've been reading the Bible by playing with my left hand. And let me tell you something I learned. One rabbi said being rich means having a toilet close to your table. Other people say that it's simply the line between having enough and not having enough. But then my brain says, well, even look at King Solomon, and he's extravagantly rich. So I don't fully know what to do with that. And this is where, like Craig suggested, I need to pause and meditate. Meditate does not mean what we first think it does. It's not where you get quiet and you clear your mind and you silence everything. In Hebrew, the word for meditate is haggah. It has sound associated with it. Some way, haggah teach, it is the sound that a lion makes when he's sitting over his prey. Haggah. And it's that low rumble, like onomatopoeia. It's what the noise that a lion makes when he's sitting over his prey that he's just killed, because it is his life-sustaining food. That's the kind of meditating we want to do with the Bible. So I need to go back to God, and I need to talk, and I need to listen around this topic. What does this mean for me, God? And in that, I'm moving to the A in our acronym, which is apply. I need to think about, what does this mean for me? Just like today, there's people who have enough, there's people who have more than enough, there's a whole lot of people that don't have enough. So what does this mean for me? And in trying to figure that out, it's like I'm playing the piano with my right hand. I'm trying to create a fuller picture. Neither hand is wrong. They're just incomplete. And when I put them together, I get a more beautiful and complete picture. And then I go to the R in our acronym, which is respond. And I want to respond to what I've heard from God, whatever that looks like. I don't simply want to read the word. I want to allow the word to work in and through me. Well, okay, that's great. But what if I settle rich for today for myself and I feel like, okay, I got this. And then I'm reading tomorrow and another verse crops up and my attention goes to that word and I'm not sure what the Lord is doing there. That's okay. It is okay to ask the same questions around the same topic again, because God might be trying to tell me something new, or he might be trying to add nuance to the wisdom that he's given. Because wisdom is not a one-time download. It is not one size fits all. It is the daily seeking and listening where we find true wisdom. Okay, so I said we would land in Proverbs 22, and here we are. But there's still two ways I want to go with Proverbs 22. I want to talk about the Proverbs that really don't we don't fully understand. And then I want to talk about what do we do with kind of the easy stuff that we think we have a handle on. So let's play our game again. Is it in Proverbs? Ready? Spare the rod, spoil the child. Is it in there? No, kind of. I like it. I like hedging our bets. Not exactly. Most people think it comes from chapter 13, verse 24, which you're going to read this week, and I would love to dig in with you more if you have questions about it. But today, in chapter 22, it was verse 15 that actually made me think of that saying. And that verse 15 says, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him." All right, I have to confess that I don't fully know what to do with this verse. Because I know what my brain thinks it means, but I don't think under any circumstances that this actually means to beat our children. And so I know this is a topic that kind of divides churches. So I'm going to ask you for some latitude and some grace as we talk about this. Because let's agree, we're not going to agree about everything. You're probably not going to like that I'm a Michigan fan. And a lot of you honestly aren't even going to like how strongly I feel about the folly of the NFL. So let's not let... I thought I could sneak that one by. Let's not let this verse be the thing that actually divides us. Let's talk about it. Let's challenge each other into new learning. I don't want to be in an echo chamber because it's in the wrestling, it's in the chewing on these verses where we are refined. So in this case, with all that I've learned about the Bible, or with all I've learned about the brain and the Bible, I really don't think God is saying for me to hit my kiddo. So I have to ask myself, what do I not yet know to help me understand this? Where can I dig into the questions in the E part of our acronym to get some background knowledge to help me get a fuller picture of what my brain thinks that I understand with my right hand? So in my perspective, what that I know everything. And aha, a loving God would not say to beat your children. And so this whole book, well, it must be hooey, and God must not be who he said he is. Maybe instead we could think of ourselves, or I could at least think of myself, as the limited being in this situation. And maybe I could say to myself, there must still be something I don't yet fully understand. Instead of thinking, well, I know all these things, something doesn't make sense, the problem has to be with this text or with God. Because friends, I'm pretty sure there's either a proverb or a part of Job that speaks to that kind of a heart posture. There's some wisdom for that. I have come to realize, honestly, in this book, that I might get to heaven and there might be verses in here that I don't fully understand. And I hope that's okay. I hope that God is not going to look at me and say, "Janice, you're out. You didn't actually know everything." But he might actually say, "Janice, you're out because you never knew me. You never brought your heart to me." So friends, let's take our hearts before God and ask for wisdom and knowledge. And let's not get caught up in it all and dismiss it all because we don't understand one part. Pray for wisdom. Press into relationship and ask the Holy Spirit to highlight for something for you. But give yourself grace, because right now we only see in part and we only know in part, and that is okay. God invites us to trust, and that is where faith is and where faith even can grow. So I kind of think that's what we can do with some of the verses we don't fully understand. But now what do we do with the verses that we do fully understand, or that we think, at least, that we understand? So at the beginning of chapter 22, there are 16 verses. And that's kind of a lot, and they come back like they're all over the place. I confess it. But six of them are all about money. So what I'm not going to do today is teach you all about what to do with your money. But we are going to talk about Dave Ramsey again, so get in there. I'm actually not entirely sure that all of these verses are about money. I at least want to leave some room for the Holy Spirit to work, and I want to sit with them just a little bit and ask, are they really about money, Or at least, are they only about money? So before we do that, I want to step back just a little bit, and I want to think about behavior. I know for me, I often want to control behavior. I expect certain things. I want my kids to do and not do certain things. And even for myself, I want good behavior. I want to pray. I want to read my Bible. I want to exercise. I want to eat well. Those things don't always happen. But those are behaviors. And they are like the fruit on a tree. And I want good fruit. I want good fruit for myself. I want good fruit for my friends. I want good fruit from my kids. So if I want good behavior from either myself or my kids, if you want that from the people in your life, or your kids or yourself, I want you to think for a minute, where do you put your energy? When you're seeing the fruit that isn't what you want, where do you put your energy? I know for me, I put more energy into controlling the behaviors. I try harder, I add more structure, I add more rules. My kids would probably tell you I give them a lecture. And this is actually where we could even get caught up in a little bit of legalism. Because this is simply managing behaviors and even appearances. If I were a farmer and I wanted better fruit, you can yell this one out, where would I put my energy? Soil, fertilizer, roots, yes, watering, feeding, that's where I would put my energy. So the truth is, if I want better behavior or better fruit from myself or from my kids, I need to focus on the roots. I might ask myself, what am I believing about myself or about God that is making this reading plan so hard for me or making spending time with him so hard for me? Or I might ask, what is my child believing that is causing them to act this way? And then what truth can I put on the roots to help them or to help myself instead of simply trying to control the fruit? All right, so I want us to think about that as we look at these six verses out of the beginning of Proverbs 22. Is it really about the money, or is that the fruit? And maybe there's something different at the root. All right, verse 1 says, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. So there you have it. There's the money part. But is it really about riches, or is this about the value of godly character? Verse 2 says, the rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of all of them. Is this about the money? Is this about being rich or poor? Or is this about the value of all kinds of people, all of God's people? Verse 4 says, humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. Is this really about riches and money? Or is this about being humble and finding the awe, the amazement we read in the Old Testament, fear of who God is? In verse 7, it tells us, my favorite, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. I personally know, before we went through Financial Peace University, that being in debt is like having a brick around your neck. I find the second half of that proverb to be very true. Dave Ramsey says, sometimes we buy things we don't need to impress people we don't even like. So maybe I ask myself, who am I trying to please? Who or what am I working for? Verse 9 tells us, the generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. And most people put this in the money category, but really? Or is it about a heart of generosity or of open-handedness, whether it's money or not? And then I want to challenge us just a little bit in this one, because it says, will themselves be blessed. And I want to challenge us to not always think of material blessings. Not that it can't be a material blessing, but just maybe that we don't always go there on that phrase. Okay, last one. Verse 16 says, one who opposes the poor to increase his wealth and the one who gives gifts to the rich both come to poverty. Is this about making more money? Or is this about the heart to take advantage of people or who you're trying to impress? I am not saying that these are not about money, but I'm also saying there might be more. I'm also certainly not saying my short summaries are all completely capture the proverb with certainty, but I'm simply asking us to dig a little deeper, to do some heart work. Now, before you tune out, go with me on the heart work. It's not too soft or too emotional. It's actually the hard work. This is where we get uncomfortable because we spiritually naked before God. So it makes sense that we want an excuse to run and hide. I mean, humans have been doing that since the garden. But God cares about our heart, and he wants to do a work in our heart. So as we look through the Proverbs, some are easier, like verse 9, where it says about being generous. That's easy for me. I share my food with Operation Give Back. I gave money to the food bank. Check, I'm generous. But have you ever stopped and asked the Lord if that's what he wants from you? Or does he want you to share your table with the poor? Or maybe another way to ask that question is, how generous is generous enough? Another verse might be more difficult, like in verse 16, where it talks about oppressing the poor. And I'm like, what is in that for me? I don't make laws. I don't oppress anyone. And then I sit with it a little longer, and the Lord says, hey, but you really like to spend as little money as possible, specifically on your clothes. And when you spend as little money on your clothes as possible, people can only pay the people who make your clothes, spend as little money as possible. And they're not even making a living wage. And in that, the way you're choosing to spend your money might be oppressing the poor. So all I'm saying is maybe there's room in these Proverbs for meditation, for us to sit with them, for us to haggah over them as life-giving words. There is heart work to do in Proverbs, not simply behavior management, because I believe that God cares about our hearts. Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, some people say, more than anything else in the Bible. Other people will argue he talks about money second most. Again, I want to just dig into a couple of those verses about where Jesus talks about money and ask you, when that comes up, ping, your brain goes on and says, is it really about money, or is there a different root? Is it about generosity or compassion or humility or even about love, trust, and where we put our confidence? God wants to be where we put our confidence, and friends, he is more than capable of handling it. But on. No, put our security and our trust in our money. Jesus tells us no one can serve two masters. You either love the one and hate the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Is this about money? Sure. But is it only about money? Or is it about who you serve and who you trust and how you choose to live? Another time when Jesus is teaching, he says, the kingdom of God that he talked about a lot isn't coming with signs and wonders. It's actually in the midst of you. It's, some people say, it's between you. It's in the way you treat each other. And Proverbs says, here's how you can treat and interact with each other in the world with wisdom. Again, these aren't promises, but if you want to show people what the kingdom of God is like, Proverbs is a good place to start and do the deep heart work of getting to godly wisdom. Jesus cares about the condition of your heart. He cares about what is inside of your heart as much as he cares about the outside, about what people see, about the behaviors. I know I spend a lot of time concerned about, God, should I do this or should I do this? And I know God cares about that. But I also think he cares more about who we are when we're doing the things that we do. He cares about our relationships with people. And he cares about, yes, how we even interact with money. But I also know he cares about our motivations and our hearts. So as we read Proverbs, I want to be really careful to not get into the business of putting on the inner yard, of mulching and planting are messy. Christ lives in us. Paul prays for us in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. He says, I pray that Christ will live in your hearts by faith and that your life will be strong in love and be built on love. I don't know about you, but if Jesus is going to come live in my heart, I want that to be a place that is hospitable and comfortable and maybe even nicer than the outside. I don't want to just seem like I'm following God. I want to really be sure in my heart that my heart is following God's. So friends, let's be sure that we are close to him, that we are listening to him, and that he is changing us. All right. I want to tell you a short story, quick story here about what happened as I was getting ready for this message. So give me a little grace. I'm going to go quick on this one. All right. While I was preparing for this message, I was bringing what little I have and asking the Lord to bless it. And of course, I want to be able to answer all of your questions. So I was like, God, I really want to understand the verse. Folly is bound up in the heart of the child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. I wanted to have all the answers. So I'd been doing a lot of research and kind of tying myself up a little bit. Does it mean this? It doesn't really mean rod. It means rod like a shepherd and shepherds guide sheep. And I wanted a really pretty answer, but I just wasn't sure. And in the way that only the Holy Spirit can, while I was busy trying to make meaning out of Old Testament work, trying to make my own meaning over here, something amazing happened for me. And the Holy Spirit made it come alive for me in a new and beautiful way. I kind of want to show you a little metaphor.
Don't stop. Keep playing.
Great job there at the end. I do think the Holy Spirit says great job when he comes alongside of us and helps it come alive for us. So let's grab our connect cards. Ms. Helen, no, you're still with me. Wake up. Grab your connect cards. Show them to me. Woo-woo! We have covered a lot of ground today. All right? So this is how I'll know you're with me. Anything that resonates with you that the Lord is asking from you, you write this on this card. All right? Today, we might pray that the Holy Spirit does the work to help you understand the Word of God in new and fresh ways. Today, you might commit to actually read the Proverbs, read a chapter a day, or join us in our reading plan. Be like Nike. Just do it. My husband likes to say, there's nothing left to it but to do it. Friends, I don't know how else to say it. Get in the reading plan. Read. Read the Bible. God will meet you there. And maybe you try to use hand as you read and understand scriptures from your left. From your perspective. And then you play with your left hand as you do a little bit of research. And maybe you get in a group and you add other people's instruments as you figure out how they are reading and understanding the Bible. But more than that, I pray the Holy Spirit comes behind you and says, keep praying and playing. And you understand as the Holy Spirit brings the Word of God alive for you in new and fresh ways. Another step might be to meditate. Or to haggah over the word. Maybe you are reading, and I confess this is me. This is where this next step came from, guys. Maybe you need to stop rushing through the reading and sit with God. Make space and listen. He will meet you there. He will meet you there, heart pounding, goosebumps, new revelation that wasn't yours when you started. I promise that's not my everyday reading plan experience, but it will happen. The Holy Spirit is close. And I promise I'm not a professional at this, but as I do it more and more, I can discern it more and more. Maybe today you need to do the heart work to make your heart a hospitable place for Jesus or to be a kingdom bringer. Maybe you need to create space or some margin for God to be able to move and direct you so that you aren't scheduled to the very edge. Friends, if you don't know Jesus, please know that he loves you and he wants to be in relationship with you. And if you don't know what that means or that sounds super churchy to you, you can grab me or Craig or put with an orange shirt on after and we can talk to you about it. We can use less churchy words, but I know that Jesus loves you. If you write that on your connect card that you want to talk about that, we will reach out to you. I promise God loves you and wants you to know him and walk with him. Another next step might be to get prayer. Prayer that you can surrender your unbelief. Prayers that you can come against the ways that you feel stuck or stumped by God's word. Prayer that you would find and listen to wisdom. Prayer for healing or blessing. Or prayer because you just feel like you're supposed to, but you don't even know why. I would bet money if you went to get prayer and you crossed that line of fear or discomfort, or maybe if it was even weird at first, I would bet money you will not regret it. Prayer teams will be in the back over here and in the front over here, and you can go anytime during worship for prayer. So go ahead, write your next step on your card quickly. I see you're all with me still. And we're going to put that in the orange buckets as the ushers come on and receive our offering. So they're going to do that now. You just drop those in there as they go by. Your next step's written down on your Connect cards. And then you can grab your communion cups. And hopefully you saw these on your way in. If not, I don't just want to encourage you to go get one. I want to ask you, please take time, go get one of these. We want to celebrate the unity of what Jesus has done for us and accept his gift of grace by sharing in communion. I want to pause here for just a second, because this can get really routine. This is just what we do. We open the cup, we have the wafer. But little ones find wonder in the same things day after day. And I want to find a place where we sit and we think about how big the sacrifice was that took Jesus to the cross for us, that gave us this cute little wafer and this cute little cup. It represents something way bigger and way more meaningful. The wafer represents Jesus' body and all of his suffering, and the juice, his blood poured out in pain. Through him, through sharing in his sacrifice, we share the gift of into the kingdom of God, and we're invited to bring other people with us to share the gift of freedom, community, love, peace, and grace that we've been given. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this gift. I thank you for the gift of being able to come to you to share in this communion. Thank you for bringing us into your kingdom, for bringing us on this journey with you, to grow close to you. Father, I pray we come to meet with you now in worship and prayer, and we bring our hearts to you, Lord. Fix our eyes and our attention on you. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. You can now stand, sit, and worship, or feel free to get prayer.